Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth, a symphony Beethoven composed when he was deaf. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, a remarkable story about a lock of hair, a lock of Beethoven's hair, about what a locket of the composer's hair has to say about his life and his death. Our guest is Russell Martin, author of the new book, Beethoven's Hair, An Extraordinary Historical Odyssey and a Scientific Mystery Solved. Russell Martin is the author of one novel and five works of nonfiction, including Out of Silence. His new book, Beethoven's Hair, is published by Broadway Books. Russell Martin, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thanks, Celeste.
Who snipped Beethoven's hair after his death in 1827 and why?
It was snipped by a young man named Ferdinand Hiller, who was 15 years old at the time. He'd been brought to Vienna by his mentor, the composer Johann Hummel, who was a friend of Beethoven's. They'd come to spend a bit of time with the dying Beethoven. It was clear that Beethoven was living his last days, and Hummel wanted to see his old friend and wanted Ferdinand Hiller to meet this man. He felt sure that Hiller would be greatly moved and awed by being in the master's presence. They got to Vienna in time to see him on three different occasions. Then following Beethoven's death, they returned to pay their last respects, and it was at that visit that young Hiller took out a pair of scissors and clipped the lock that became a keepsake for most of the rest of his life until he gave it to his son in his old age.
Mm. And this was a custom at the time? Because this is something I wouldn't think we would do today.
You know, that era was a pre-photography era, and it was the most expedient way to have a visual memento of someone. You could commission a painting or a sketch, of course, but for people who didn't have the means to do that, taking a lock of hair was really the only physical keepsake. And it was a particularly poignant one, of course, and people still do so today for those same reasons. Hair is the real stuff. It's physical body. You know, it doesn't decay the way skin does, for instance. But hair is as physical, as much a part of the body as is skin or blood or bone.
And this lock of hair then turned up for auction in London in 1994, purchased by two very interesting men. Tell us a little bit about them.
They are two Arizona-based Beethoven enthusiasts and serious enthusiasts, of course. Ira Brilliant is a late 70s retired real estate developer who lives in Phoenix and who has been in Arizona for about 30 years. He came there in the early 60s and developed a passion for collecting Beethoven letters and first editions and that sort of thing in the mid-1970s, and really amassed about what you'd have to consider the most impressive private collection of Beethoven memorabilia in North America. His partner in the purchase of the hair is a Mexican-American urologist whose curious name is Che Guevara. He lives in the Arizona border town of Nogales. And the two of them met via their Beethoven passions, and it was the lock of hair that particularly joined them in this context. Dr. Guevara had expressed an interest in acquiring a little something sometime that was a physical, a visual memory of Beethoven. And when Ira Brilliant saw in a Sotheby's catalog the mention of the lock of hair, he thought first and foremost of his friend the doctor, and the two of them set the purchasing process in motion.
Yeah, no doubt they were singing Ode to Joy.
Well, they certainly hoped that they could acquire it, but they couldn't be at all sure that they could amass the funds. They, you know, they knew that there'd be people bidding from all over the world, and they couldn't be sure how desperately other people might want it. They were delighted but surprised when their bid turned out to be the winning bid.
Yeah. This is more than one story. It tells, of course, the story of Beethoven's life, but then there's also a story from World War II, and we really don't have time to go into this very fascinating part of the story, or that particular story, the historical odyssey of this lock of hair. But maybe that's just as well, because we'll leave it to the readers to discover that wonderful odyssey. But let's jump ahead and get to the bottom line in terms of what does this almost 200-year-old relic tell us about Beethoven?
The testing that was set in motion in 1995, and it is just concluded in the last month or two, has shown three principal and really fascinating findings. The first was that there were no opiates of any kind in Beethoven's body at the time of his death, which is surprising because he was treated by the best physicians in the city of Vienna, and certainly would have been offered laudanum, a morphine derivative. And the only explanation, the only plausible explanation, is that he declined morphine because he wanted to continue to sketch music. He was actively planning a 10th symphony at the time of his death. He was sketching a new string quartet. And it seems very, very likely that he preferred to endure the pain that could have been ameliorated by opiates in order to keep his head clear enough to compose music. Next is the finding that there was absolutely no mercury in his system at the time of his death. That's interesting because people have speculated for some time that syphilis might be at the root of his deafness. However, again, had he had syphilis, almost certainly it would have been treated. Almost certainly it would have been treated with mercury, the drug of choice at the time for syphilis. And this puts to rest really a debate that's been going on for some time. Curiously, at autopsy, his doctors also should have found physical evidence of syphilis, and they did not even at that time. So this finally rules syphilis out. And most importantly, two different forensic tests that have been completed in this past year have shown that there were lead levels in Beethoven's body that were between 42 and 100 times higher than the control hair samples that were studied. Beethoven was massively toxic with lead at the time of his death. And a symptomology of lead poisoning, known as plumism medically, reads like a cataloging of the many, many illnesses that plagued Beethoven throughout his life, including the deafness. The medical literature is full of studies that do show clearly that both optic nerves and auditory nerves are often severely damaged by severe lead poisoning. So this may well explain why Beethoven, in fact, went deaf.
Yeah, what a fascinating story, or combination of stories here in this book that you tell, Russell. I want to thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Russell Martin is the author of Beethoven's Hair, an Extraordinary Historical Odyssey and a Scientific Mystery Solved. The book is published by Broadway Books. It's 3 o'clock Central Time. You're tuned to AM 580 WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois. I'm Celeste Quinn. Please stay with us now. We're going to join National Public Radio for news that will be followed by Fresh Air.